forever. Dog.
I got called a asshole, and I was shocked at how nice everybody was. I really got a rally from the crowd, and that almost never happens because usually in that situation, the lesbians are like, we would prefer to have this be a mediated discussion, and we're not going to get involved in the conflict. And while I am on your side, there's protocol that we have to follow. And who has the talking sage right now? Can we get the talking sage? Thank you.
Can we get some crystals?
Can we get a friendly lesbian to mediate?
We need a friendly lesbian.
What's your sun, moon, and rising? Are you in a hotel right now?
I'm in a hotel. I'm in Oklahoma City. How are you guys?
You're so close to me.
I know. I'm going to see you tomorrow.
I know. That's so cute. But we're going to miss Elena.
Can you guys not do this right in front of me?
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for some father-son time. We're going to go fishing.
Oh, the titles I have for YouTube videos? Running into my dad at a gay event. Meeting my dad in the street. Like, there's so many good options for this.
Do you want me to be
homophobic? We're ready for the content machine.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to be homophobic. Sometimes the title's all it takes.
But I kind of want to be homophobic. What if I want to be homophobic? What if I want to exercise my demons?
You'd fit in
through being
right here in the
coming to the right town. I'm excited. What a dream come true. I never thought. First of all, I didn't know Springfield, Missouri was a place. So there's that. And the second part of it is to be able to sell tickets in a place that I didn't even know existed, like several hundred tickets. That's crazy. That's so weird.
I don't know where all these gay people were when I was coming out and looking for a girlfriend. This is like ridiculous.
And we're going to try and find that gay that your sister's into, right? Are we allowed to talk about this?
Why did it feel derogatory for you to say that gay?
That gay. Ashley's practicing.
We got to find that gay.
I'm practicing right now.
She's practicing for her Springfield act.
Can we talk about what happened at your show last night or...
We can talk about it. I just feel like it's not a bad thing. I just hope people aren't sick of it. I got called an asshole.
I haven't heard this. I'm not sick of it. Oh my God, tell me.
Someone yelled asshole at me in the middle of my...
Okay, what prompted the asshole?
I'm laughing.
Yeah, for what? Tell the story.
I'm laughing because I think the level of abuse at comedians face is just so insane. Like, I can't be getting it on the internet and in real life. Like, come on. Yeah. Can we just pick one way to harass me?
Right. Yeah. Like, at least for like us YouTubers or like just podcasters, we're just seeing it in the comments. It's not like people will write something mean in the comments and then they'll meet us in the streets and are like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah.
But like
yeah,
for exactly. you, it's like asshole in the comments.
Got an
asshole in real life.
Mid-set.
Yes.
God.
Well, you guys, I listened to a really long therapy session about this. But basically, like, I think I'm slowly learning that, and I don't want to sound like arrogant when I say this.
Sure.
But I am a lot of people's...
The best thing that has ever happened to
I
comedy.
I am their Lord
if you want
and
us to say it
Savior,
for you.
Jesus Christ. I am the first comedian they've ever been motivated to go and see.
Yeah.
Right. And they're of a younger generation, so nightlife is also kind of new for them. And comedy is new for them. And they don't know the rules. And there's no reason they should know the rules. But as someone
it seems kind of common sense to like not shout obscenities at people on the stage.
Yeah,
if
I went to something
setting.
That I was unsure of the rules, I think that's the last thing that I would probably do.
Right. Right. But I think
it's like there's a sign at my climbing gym above the water fountains that's new. That's like water fountains not for washing hands. Do not wash hands in water fountains.
Okay.
And I'm like,
things are not all right. Things are not okay. That is
like,
that's one
like,
of the things
that's
where
the
I'm
kind
like
of thing that something had to have happened for that sign to need to be in place. What I'm saying is that someone shouting obscenities at somebody on a stage, like that shouldn't need to be learned.
Totally.
That's common sense.
Actually, of all the things that have happened to me as a performer, someone yelling asshole on me is on the spectrum of normal, I would say. What is not normal is how quiet my audiences are. People don't, this is the thing where I feel like I'm insane expressing this to people.
Right.
But before when I perform for comedy fans. So they never felt like they had to hold their laughter in because it might be inappropriate. But when you perform for people who are new to comedy, they're really genuinely worried about what people around them are thinking and feeling. And their instinct is not, like, I have one of my opening jokes is the homophobia got pretty good this year. And Yes, exactly. Correct.
No, sorry, let me do my best impression of, like, your audience reacting to that.
I feel like you kind of did, though. You, like, laughed silently.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, yes, stand up. And I laugh out loud. And Mac, you're like,
oh. Yeah, exactly. Like, ooh, how inappropriate for that lesbian to say that homophobia got pretty good. Yeah. And they're more online. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, like, they're coming from the internet. They're more online. And it's different. Yeah. It's so different. So I have this kind of roasty persona where I'm like, you know, guys, like I'll call them little bottom bitches or I'll call them pieces of shit. And all of it is just to basically say, well, the reason I'm doing it is not because I actually think they're pieces of shit. The reason I'm doing it is I'm like helping them let go. I'm helping them like be a part of the environment and realize how ridiculous this all is. Sometimes people don't realize that I'm joking. So that's why.
At a comedy show?
Yeah. So, right.
Not like this is a theme.
So this older lesbian in the crowd called me an asshole. And I immediately, you'll see the clip, I immediately offered a refund. Anytime, because not only do I, in my heart, as a person, I think the correct thing to do is to be like, if you didn't like this, you can have a refund. That is just my personal belief. But also, it's super disarming. Because the person who calls you an asshole does not expect you to be like,
it's well,
like you can
leave
entitled.
If you want to. You don't have to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I say that. But then I also said, I was like, but also, like, you found me on TikTok, right? Like, it shouldn't be a shock that I'm kind of an asshole. That's kind of the brand, right?
Yeah.
And then they said, she said, she goes, that's not what I saw on TikTok. What I saw was a friendly lesbian. And I was just like, nah, dude. No, you did not. I don't know what fucking clip.
What I saw was a friendly lesbian. Oh. I signed up for some friendship. I signed up for sunshine and rainbows.
Yes. I was just
not
like,
sign up for the angry lesbian comedy.
What the fuck is this? Unfriendly. Well, I think part of it is so funny to me because I'm like, the expectations that people put on you. Now, you guys are love, like, you are really friendly lesbians. Like, if I had to pick friendly lesbians, I would.
Did
you guys.
Did you give her our handles? Did you like let her know where she could find us or
someone actually some friendly lesbian content?
Someone actually wrote in and was like, did they think you were Elena? And I was like. No.
Look, I can
oh. Yeah.
No. I could be rude.
You know what you gotta do? This is more of a sexual story, but you sometimes main will be like the littlest main babes. Sometimes main babes will be the littlest bit sassy with me and I get so turned on because she's the kindest person on the planet. And I'm like, oh my god, you're being like the tiniest little bit mean to me. Oh my god. But yeah, so she called me an asshole and I was like, but you understood what this was gonna
you're like,
be
yep.
like. And it's weird because I'll even say it in the set. Even in the set, I'm like, if you are confused right now, this is a joke. I'm a reverse Ellen. I'm mean up here, I'm nice out there.
No, you say that all the time during the set. I can't. It's
yeah, you've
like
seen
they
a bunch
just
of
want to be mad at something. Yeah, I don't understand how
her saying you're a friendly lesbian
that's has the same energy to me as like straight people that say you're a cool gay. Like, I'm glad I can joke about this stuff with you. Like, you don't care when I call you a fag because we're close. Like, I've got the pass. I can't believe that they were a queer individual.
Yeah, I think
that's
people,
the mind-boggling part
when you're not just like a guy. Like with the big male comedians, I feel like they're given this, and maybe they would feel differently if I interviewed them. But I feel like from my perspective, people are just like, I'm so excited to hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I hope he talks about this, or I hope he talks about this. Mm-hmm. But they're mm-hmm. not, they don't have that energy of like, you're my gay comedian, so I'm expecting you to behave in a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel a lot of that pressure as a woman, as a gay person.
There's more curiosity around, like, ooh, what take is he going to bring?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What's his take going to be? We're curious. We're excited. We're like, we're ready to eat it up, kind of, whether it's controversial or whether I agree or not. Like, I'm like ready to hear it. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's, maybe a queer woman, then you're
more
like.
You guys just explained the TikTok algorithm.
Yes.
Ashley always complaining about, because like, whenever you see, I'm sorry, guys, a Matt Rife clip.
Here we
that
go again.
Shit is
again
blown
with the Matt
up.
Rife?
How do you think that ended up on my FYP?
He's
that
showing
shit
up on
is
mine.
Blown the fuck
He's showing up.
Up
on mine.
And it's not that fucking good. Sorry.
Where, how? Like, what have I interacted with? Well, I'm like, I interact with your content, Ashley. And so they're like, she likes comedians? Matt Rife. And I'm like, not interested.
Don't show me the other queer comedians. Don't show me the other.
Yeah.
It just women. Show me Matt Rife.
Yes. Fuck?
Right. It's like, it's just super, it's just weird. I would be okay with people being like, I don't like this joke. I felt this, people say that to me all the time. I don't like this joke. I'm very used to that. But it feels like more of a personal attack when people are like, well, you're like supposed to be the friendly lesbian. Like you're supposed to be, or you're supposed to do all gay stuff. I'm here for gay stuff. Do the gay stuff. And I'm like,
first of all, I'm not supposed to be anything.
Yeah,
like,
I'm a human being.
Then second, where are you even getting that from?
Yeah. Like, it's
friendly lesbian.
It's from in their head. And look, I'm like, I am proud, dude. Like, I'm very proud of who I am. And I don't think anyone who sees my set could say that I'm not a proud lesbian or like avoiding the topic, but like I also can be allowed to talk about other things.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I got called an asshole, and everyone was so nice though. I was shocked at how nice everybody was. I really got a rally from the crowd, and that almost never happens because usually in that situation, the lesbians are like, we would prefer to have this be a mediated discussion and we're not going to get involved in the conflict. And so while I am on your side, there's protocol that we have to follow. And who has the talking sage right now? Can we get the talking sage? Thank you.
Can we get some crystals? Let's
Can
all
we get a friendly lesbian to mediate?
We need a friendly
lesbian.
What's
your sun, moon, and rising?
So that's my update. I am an asshole, and I stand by it.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes.
Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast on the go, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. I'm a horrible cook to begin with, so making something healthy and delicious fast, that's what I absolutely love about Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
They also have gourmet meals that feature premium ingredients. My personal favorites? Broccolini and asparagus. But overall, Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. You can simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/chosenfamily50 and use code chosenfamily50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code chosenfamily50 at factormeals.com/chosenfamily50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. If you had unlimited time, how would you use it? If you're looking to find what's important to you, what you want to be a priority in your life, therapy can help.
Through therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. For me, when it comes to saving time, doing things from the comfort of my own home has been king. Doing therapy online saves me a long drive to an office, it allows me to feel comfortable in a familiar space, and it just feels better. I love online therapy with BetterHelp because it's more accessible to me than traditional therapy in person. And I can use the time that I save for other things that make me feel good, like rock climbing, or going to the beach, or going for a walk, or just spending time with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ChosenFamily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ChosenFamily.
You guys got any updates?
Not really. I saw my family. I was in Manitoba for a bit for my dad's birthday. So that was nice. I feel like my updates
Randy.
Are like... Randy. Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
I listened. I listened to you.
Oh, thank you. You're so friendly. No, I feel like my general... day-to-day updates are like the least relatable, or like it's just not interesting to somebody who's not like trying to run a business, because that's all I do.
No,
all day
but
is, like,
but Elena, so many people are trying to run businesses or aspire to.
Yeah, I would love your business advice personally. Go ahead.
Oh my god. Okay, thank you. I guess this feels like a similar vein to you, Ashley, earlier saying like, oh, I don't want to sound arrogant. When I talk about this stuff, somehow I feel arrogant, because I'm talking about like I'm becoming the boss, right? Like it's always just
yeah,
been
you
me,
are
for the most part working by myself, right? And doing everything by myself. And over the last couple of years, I've started hiring different people and kind of putting different structures in place to
structures. This is sexy,
outsource
Elena.
Some
kind
of the
structure?
Work.
I outsource so. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's really inappropriate.
You know, we're putting in operations. We're developing various systems to get like the
you
workflow. Right,
yeah.
You need a smooth workflow.
You do. So smooth.
You have workflow. To stop. You're going to attract the business bros, the finance bros. You have to stop.
No,
maybe,
this is not finance
like,
bro energy.
The algorithm,
you know what finance bro energy right. would be? It would be like, fucking sell, dude. Fucking sell right now. Like, it's not smooth
rise
anything.
Rise and grind.
It's, yeah, yeah.
No, but so what I'm kind of trying to find the balance of right now is... I'm having other people do various things that I've done for years. And so I'm doing a lot of approving, right? And like,
yeah.
I guess I'm surprised by the amount of time it takes to review things. So instead of me just doing it all and posting it and sharing it and writing it and editing it and doing everything, now I'm having other people take on some of that work, but then it still needs to be passed back to me to review, provide feedback, approve. And it's like, it's a very different type of stress or like type of kind of to-do list when it's like four different people messaging you on four different platforms saying like, hey, Elena, I need you to look over these cutdowns. Hey, can I get your approval on this? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, I wrote this thing. I need your, what points do you want me to hit? And I'm a little like,
yeah,
that's, I don't know, trying to.
It's a lot.
Move into that mindset or I don't know. I'm trying to feel.
You really have to let go. It's crazy, like, how much you have to let go. But I think, I don't know if you feel this way, but after a few rounds, your staff is going to get really good at knowing what you like. So eventually, the approval process will go faster. Yeah.
It just, I think I'm, it's like having other people doing some of the work, it's given me more time. But, like, instead of just, like, having more time, I'm like, doing more things, you know, like starting this podcast,
exactly,
or like posting more types of content, or launching a new pin on my Patreon, and doing all that, going back to school,
and then you're like, why don't I feel less stressed?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, why don't I have all this time when I've got people doing, you know, 40 50 60 hours of work for me a week? Like, what?
Because capitalism is a trap. It's a never-ending cycle. We're all in the hamster wheel.
I'm not also, like, I'm zero complaining. It's just a new kind of don't know. It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre.
Yeah, it's really, hopefully at the end of the day, you're able to do more of what you love. Even if it's more work or a similar amount of work, hopefully you're just doing more of what you love to do. Or just stare off into the distance a little bit. Yeah.
No, I think it's the idea is that this is going to create space to like figure out, to make more content that's like more fun, more, I want to put more good out there. Right.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, this podcast, having these conversations is hopefully helping people, making people smile, making them feel cozy, making them feel accepted. Same with my YouTube content. Same with going back to school. Like, I want...
We didn't introduce the podcast.
Oh, my God. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to... This is the Chosen Family Podcast. Oh, we're so bad at it.
We're just three friendly lesbians.
We're just popping so in friendly. To say hi. We are your gay family. Every week we get together and we sit down around the family dinner table. We talk about gay stuff. I'm Elena Joy. I am your mother.
I'm Ashley Gavin. Daddy is angry. Daddy is angry.
Why look out. Is blank angry?
Oh, yeah, we can't have that sound.
I'm Mac and Jimmy. I'm baby. You're... Why?
Wow.
Oh.
Wait, wow. Oh, no,
I'm
not
so
baby.
Ready to correct you.
I'm not baby, Oh my God, I just had, no.
Mac is baby, though.
Mac is baby.
You are.
Mac, Freudian hot slip. Teenage
no,
brother.
You are baby. Baby. You
last week,
it.
Mac go through puberty. This week, Mac.
This week, Mac talking Mac older, third person.
Mac, this week, Mac accepts their baby status.
No.
Yes.
No, that was an accident.
Don't throw a tantrum.
Did you just throw a little tantrum?
Don't throw a tantrum.
Trying to say that you're not baby? Is that I'm what
not,
just happened?
Very baby move for not baby.
I don't identify as baby, but everyone else identifies me as baby. Mm. And this is a gateway to a deeper discussion.
But we're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. We're just
Ashley, if someone heckles you at your show tomorrow night, I'll
oh,
be
Mac.
There.
Mac. I can't think of anyone less intimidating.
Yeah, look at your hands all taped up, all half taped
up. Oh, yeah, do you
want to
talk about
your flaps? Your flappers?
No, I don't want to talk about my flaps.
We were going to do a flap recap.
I don't want a flap recap.
Flap recap. That's great. I love that. Flap recap. Recap the flap.
I would love to dress up like a security guard for you tomorrow night.
Don't change the subject.
For us to not address it at all.
What happened to your hands?
What happened?
That's funny. Can I? You don't like my idea at all.
We're a bad crowd. We're getting
I don't
roasted
like your
by
attempt at deflection.
You know what, Mac? You're an asshole. There you go.
You think so?
No. You're nice. You're a nice little baby.
Yeah. Yeah, Mac. You can be an asshole if you tried, I'm sure.
I got flappers yesterday on the rock climbing wall because I fell off the wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like you got a lot of them. But you know what that means, though?
Did you
it
have
means
sex
that you're like
woman?
Becoming a real climber. Because.
No,
sorry,
that's a different.
I'm clearly on a delay.
Whoa!
Because in our video, the video that we made for your channel, Elena, Mac would fall and then be like, oh, I had so much sex with a
yes.
woman last night yes. or something.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Were you telling a joke?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't good. I'm an
that
asshole.
That came out so
Mac,
much meaner than I thought.
Mac?
Yeah, I guess you
an
are
asshole.
An asshole. Wow, wow, wow.
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 I think it was my weightlifting calluses, Elena. I don't
no,
think
no, no,
it
no.
was from climbing.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that that's like one of the steps in getting like real climber hands is your calluses will kind of do that flap off thing. But
yeah.
like after a while, it like I don't get flappers anymore because these calluses are just ingrained
I feel
deep into my bones.
I have like a lot of calluses right here from like holding weights. And I think that one of or two of them got like scraped off and then my finger right there got scraped off.
Yeah, but it's a good, like it'll grow back even stronger. And Ashley, I don't know what you're smirking at over there.
No. I do this bit where I hit the mic. I do this bit where I hit the microphone to, it's about when babies are born and you know how you have to get a punch them to get them to breathe. Like
no,
they spank a baby to get it to start breathing.
Well, I think it's like a burp, like a pat. I don't think anyone's punching
you're,
and
you
spanking
punch a baby.
The babies.
You got to punch a baby to get it to breathe. And so I whap
asshole.
The microphone. I whap the microphone and I have, I don't know if you guys can see that. I have calluses from whapping the microphone because I'm not a climber and I have
you
very,
do not
very
have
soft
calluses.
That is a crazy
from
flap recap.
Tapping a microphone a couple of times a night.
I have some flaky skin and I have EDS and that makes your skin soft. And if you deny me this, you're ableist. Okay? That's what that means. So
I'm denying you this.
You are able. I don't make the rules.
See, I'm an asshole too. See?
There we go. We are all assholes.
I have to
we are
burp.
Family. Burp.
Thank you, Mac.
I love
if
burping.
I was an asshole, I wouldn't have muted my mic.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah.
And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
I absolutely love Babbel because of their short conversation-based lessons. It's really easy to take them out into the real world and use them immediately and solidify that knowledge.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really even help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/chosen. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/chosen, spelled babbel.com/chosen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Should we take questions?
Okay, Ashley, improv with me. Ready?
Yes, and.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Chosen Family podcast so much. I wish I could have my question answered by those friendly lesbians. Too bad they'll never see it.
Well, actually, yes. Actually, you can go to the Patreon, patreon.com/chosenfamilypodcast to have your question prioritized in a much smaller pool of questions on our private Discord.
No way. That was patreon.com/chosenfamilypodcast? Is that what it is?
It was.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah, correct.
We think so. At the
and
moment, that's
what
we're
questions,
going with.
Both of these questions are from the private Discord. So, and after we record this, we're recording a bonus episode that only patrons will get to listen to.
Yes.
And we're going to talk all things flappers.
We're going to talk the flap. The flap recap is going to be flapping.
From here on out, flap recaps are only on the Patreon.
Patreon only. No, okay. So the first one is, have you ever looked up an old love or crush and been tempted to contact them? How do you talk yourself out of it because you know it's a bad idea?
Great question.
I love this question.
Every day.
Really?
No, not actually. I am
the
just
same
like
one?
No, all of them. Literally every ex I've ever had. Every ex I've ever had, I would say I've been tempted to keep in touch with. Because I'm an unhealthy person. So yeah, I love touching that wound. You know when something tastes really bad but you keep tasting it?
Oh, I can relate with smells, not with taste.
Yeah. And you're like, this is stinky, I should smell it again. I'm like that with emotions. I'm like, oh, this was horrible. I should do this again and again.
Stinky emotions. I want to smell that again.
No, I'm speaking out of turn because I'm not like that so much anymore. But before, for sure, I think.
So how did you stop yourself?
I'm going to be a little vulnerable emotionally, but like I have some like loss trauma from my dad dying as a kid. So I have a real instinct to want to stay connected to the people that matter to me, even after a breakup as friends. So I'm not just talking about romantically or whatever. I'm saying like in any capacity, these people meant something to me. And so I want to keep in touch. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think
I do.
I'm about to give some super blunt advice. Block them. Make it as hard as humanly possible. If you're the type of person that's going to be tempted to do something and it's going to end up being bad for you or cause the other person harm, you know, obviously I care about you, listener, and not your stupid ex. But if it might, let's be real, all of you, if you're listening right now, your ex is also listening, probably.
I thought you were going to say, like, if you're listening, then obviously your ex was the problem.
But yeah, I think you have
your
to
set... Your ex was crazy. We know.
Yeah,
we
know. Your ex, absolutely.
Whoa.
What a fucking bitch. But yeah, I think it's okay for you to use every mechanism possible. Delete them from your phone so you can't... I actually, when I met Main Babes, I have a really good memory, and I specifically chose not to memorize her phone number so that in the event that we broke up, I wouldn't be tempted to text her.
You would remove that option from yourself. You're like putting in blocks for yourself.
Delete the numbers, block them, or at least restrict them so they're not coming up in your feed all the time. You know, it's like it's like any habit change. You have to, it's a cascade of decisions, right? It's a domino effect of decisions. It's not one decision that leads to texting an ex. It's several.
Right.
So if you can put a block in between each thing, yeah, that's what you got to do, I think, in my opinion.
That's really good advice. Yeah, just delete the number when you know. Yeah, when you know this is not someone you want to contact again, delete the number. I come from a bit of a different angle for the same kind of thought. Is like, I sometimes think about people from my past, and now it's like knowing what I know now about me and like human emotion and where I was at then versus where I'm at now, it's like I have these urges to like reach out and not make amends, but like apologize, express like where I know, oh, I really was in the wrong in this situation, or like, wow, I really didn't understand where you were coming from, and therefore I didn't treat you well. Like, I have these, sometimes I think about people from my past in that kind of way where I'm like, oh, wow, I was really not understanding what was happening for myself. And therefore, like, the conversations that we were having weren't, I can see how frustrating it would have been to be the other person. And there's like a part of me that wants to express that, but I'm like, why? That would just be for my own, like,
your own
offloading
closure.
In some way.
That is so wise, Oena.
When I know it wouldn't be.
Like, I have that urge too, but to say, yeah, it's just for me, it is kind of just for you. Because a lot of times when you reach out to the ex, they don't really need you to, they're doing their own processing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's like, why? What would I be asking for? And I'm not saying that this is something I actually want to do, but just like answering this question.
Are you giving
them
like more
sometimes
peace?
I do think about
by not saying anything.
Right.
At all.
And it's like, that's, I think, the crux of it is like, who is this bringing peace to? And it would be that I'm trying to bring peace to myself, but in turn, probably upending where they're at in some way, when like in reality, if they think that I'm an asshole, or they are like, well, that relationship ended poorly because of this, or that interaction went badly because of some fault of mine, like me, Elena, okay, let them have that. Like, I don't need to try and like rewrite their understanding of things. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean,
does that make any sense?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I actually just to, it's interesting because I also think it's person and relationship dependent. I did have an ex once apologize to me. Very rare occurrence. she was like, I feel that I was like codependent and I put a lot of pressure on you. And I was like, oh, I never thought we would be having this conversation. And I really appreciated it, actually. But if she hadn't said anything at all, I still would have thought she was codependent and put pressure on me. So it's like,
yeah, you're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Then how do you like cope with that urge to want to say that with to them, Elena, but then you don't do it? Like I understand that you said your thought process and like realizing that it's a selfish thing to do almost, but I feel like the listener also wants to know, like, what do you do to avoid going through with it besides what Ashley said about blocking? And
I guess in the situation that I'm thinking about, we have already had those conversations in different ways, like after the breakup and stuff. Like we did have more conversations where I did express some of these things, maybe not to the full extent that I understand them now, but for me, I guess it just doesn't in any sense feel necessary. Like, I don't think it would bring anybody significantly more peace. So that for me is not a huge, it's not like a huge conflict. I think if it did feel like a huge conflict, like if this was a situation where I, looking back, realized I treated somebody really poorly and like we hadn't talked about it or I had never acknowledged that, then actually I think I would probably reach out.
I think there's a window.
Like Ashley's saying, like to say like, hey, I recognize that here was my part in this. And like, I think it's a similar question of like when women are like, I don't want to approach women at bars because I don't want to be creepy. It's about your expectation. Are you reaching out to this person because you want something from them? Are you looking for their validation? Are you looking for them to forgive you, to release you from your guilt? Then you're not doing it for their peace. You're not actually owning up to something because you want to like relieve them of potential suffering. You're doing it because you want something from them.
Yeah.
So in that case, makes sense.
And
leave
even
it alone.
And even still, you're not going to get what you want. Let me be clear. Almost certainly are not going to get what you want. There is almost no way you're going to get what you want. And even if you get what you want, what is it? You're going to need to process the relationship and move on anyway. So it's
Well, so here's the new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
Here's the question then. So the listener is saying, how do you talk yourself out of it because you know it's a bad idea? So the question is, why? When you're saying you have the urge to reach out to an ex or to an old love or whatever, why? What do you want out of the conversation? Is it a case like Ashley where you want to just touch that old wound because you like miss feeling something? why?
Yep, pretty much.
Honestly, well, I was about to make the joke and then you made another joke which reinforces my joke. It's about your mom, listener. It's about your mom or your dad. It has nothing to do with this ex, okay? You want to open it up again because you're trying to simulate a relationship that you either are repeating or avoiding. So, talk to your therapist. Yes, exactly.
You want to reach out to put your ex, your therapist in your phone under your ex's name.
Yes. Oh my God. What an incredible piece of advice. What do I do when I want to text my ex? Replace my ex's contact with my therapist number.
With my therapist.
Period. Underline. Bold. Red font. And your therapist, your therapist picks up and is like, are you drunk again? Mac, have you done this?
Or had the urge to do this?
I feel too young for this conversation.
You don't have enough exes?
I don't feel like I have enough exes. My or first enough, like, breakup was like
time.
I handled this poorly, like so poorly. Like my first breakup was so drawn out and so like
we can be friends and hang out and it's fine, and no, we couldn't. And
yeah,
it was so bad and so drawn out, and it should have just, if it would have been like sliced, cut off,
yeah,
it would have been infinitely easier for both of us.
Having time and having age go by, like when you kind of inevitably have more memories and more relationships to kind of look back on and process. And that's when I think for a lot of people that whether it's friendships, romantic relationships, whatever, you do start to think about people who have come and gone from your life. And there can be a sense of like missing things about, like I'm thinking about friendships now, like friendships that I've had in my life that have come and gone. And it's like, I do have to stop myself from reaching out to, there's a couple people in particular that like, they were my friends and I miss them a lot. And it's like, it's complicated.
Well, they are. And that's the queer, also the queer piece of it. There's reaching out when you're straight and everyone wants to, you know, we all have that instinct. But when you're queer and you're young, I think there is an extra element of longing, because what is gay? What is more lesbian than longing? Nothing. Longing and lesbian. They are one.
That's the L word.
The L word. It is.
Because you're alone.
Absolutely true.
Because you're in the, maybe you're in the closet and this was the only other person who knows that you're gay. You're not just breaking up with a girlfriend. You're breaking up with your identity. You're breaking up with like your ability to talk and like about something that's really important. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, when I think about my first breakup, like I couldn't stop talking to her. I was devastated. I was devastated, you know? I was also a little simp bitch. But like the other piece of it
still
is
a
that
simp bitch.
Not like what? Now.
No, not like now. No, big strong. Big strong dad. But yeah, it was just like, I understand people's impulses to want to be friends and reach out and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And that loneliness and that longing.
Sorry.
No, go.
I cut you off. Sorry.
No, you go.
No, you hang up.
Okay.
Talk.
Oh
my God. Now I was like, forget what I was going to say. Like, oh my God. Ashley.
Oh my God. You guys want me to, I can give you a minute.
I was Mac just turned off her camera. No, Elena, you were saying, I was like, oh, loneliness, and then you said talk to
I was gonna say talk to the friends and the people that you do have in your life today. Like when you have those urges of like, I want to reach out to this person, you think about why. Tell your friend, tell your partner, tell someone, your sister, that like, hey, I'm thinking, for some reason I'm feeling like I want to reach out to this person. And here's why. What do you think? And then they're going to tell you, well, don't do that. Or they're going to tell you, oh, yeah,
my
that's a good
sister
idea.
Is the best at that. And can I just say, like, throwing out a lifeline to someone for whatever you're going through is such a good strategy for not spiraling deeper. I know it can feel shameful sometimes to reach out to someone and like, oh, I don't want a trauma dump. But all you have to do is to say to a friend or a sister or brother or sibling or whatever, like, or this doesn't even have to be about a breakup. It can be about literally anything challenging in your life. To just be like, hey, I am going through a challenging time for XYZ. And like, I don't need anything right now. But is it okay if I text you if I feel like texting my ex? Like, yeah, that is a, your friend is going to be like, yes, please don't text your ex. And you don't even have to be that
close.
They
have to deal with all the bullshit that comes after if you do text your ex.
Well, and sometimes the thing that you're looking for in that urge to reach out to an ex, you can get from a friend that's in your life. Like if the thing that you're looking for is like validation over like, hey, I've recognized my part in this and I want to talk to them about it. Your friend can be the one to say, I see you. I hear you. Like I see the person that you are. I understand where you were coming from, the place that you were at. Like it doesn't, you can possibly still get that those needs met.
That is a great piece of advice. That is such good advice, Elena. That's really good.
Thank you. Thank
You're like an
bold,
expert at this.
Underlined. Red.
I've been holding in a joke this entire time because what you were saying was so good, and I just didn't want the YouTube comments to flame me. And I don't believe in coming back to jokes because they're never as good as in the moment. But the whole time you were saying, like, oh, should I reach out to this person? I wanted to be like, Elena, all your ex-boyfriends know you're gay now. You don't need to go and tell them that. You have like a million views on that shit. You don't need to tell your exes that you're gay. They know.
They know.
Oh, I nailed it.
That's a funny joke, you asshole.
I thought you were going to say something like, the whole time you're talking about reaching out to your exes, like, I'm right here. You can talk to me.
Oh, yeah. That would have been really good.
We do have some stuff to process, Ashley.
We do. We do.
Conversations to
it's
have.
Mostly my fault. And
how do you think that affected me? To grow up in a household with you two.
I think
and now look
great.
At me. I'm Ashley's security guard for her door.
We clearly nailed it.
All right. I feel like we're done and we need to record the Patreon episode. So
yeah, which is I had a good question here, but maybe we'll save it for next week.
Yeah. Wait, should we say what we had for dinner?
Yes, always.
Oh, good call.
This was a healthy meal, a healthy, hearty meal, in my opinion. Some great vitamins, minerals.
Yeah, we hit the food pyramid. We hit each of the levels. Legumes, vegetables, grains. Legumes. Those are the only food pyramid things I eat.
Chili. A healthy chili.
Ooh, yeah.
A vegetarian, a vegetable chili.
Yeah.
Stick
yum.
To your ribs, but good for you.
Can you eat garlic bread with chili? Is that a combo that happens?
Elena, you can eat garlic bread with whatever you fucking want.
Then can we have garlic bread with our chili tonight? Yeah. I want to dip my garlic bread in chili.
You're chili so makes cute. Me puke.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
What the fuck?
Chosen Family is a Forever Dog production, hosted by Ashley Gavin, Elena Joy, and Mac Injamie. Edited by Danny Jewell, executive produced by Mariah Nicholas. Forever Dog Productions is Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm.
Forever Dog!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.